we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Observer.
Shetland is an old community used to disasters. It's seen numerous shipwrecks, the first bombing of the Second World War, and a few years later, the birth of Norman Lamont.
Thank you very much, Fred Davis of Attleborough of Norfolk, for sending us that. Well, let's meet the teams now. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and journalist Francis Ween. Facing them on my left, Alan Corran with radio and TV broadcaster Paul Ross. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Northwest Norfolk Advertiser, sent in by Peter Kimber of Hertford, Cambridgeshire.
Paul Wick and his fiancée Brenda Granger have taken over the Golden Fleece pub. Mr. Wick runs the bar while Miss Granger supervises the restaurant upstairs. For this, she draws on her experience as a chief supervisor at a dog food factory in Suffolk.
Richard, your question. Which big guns are being wheeled out to talk about the big gun?
I think I might be able to answer this, amazingly as it may seem. I think it's to do with the inquiry being conducted by Mr. Justice Scott into the so-called Iraqgate affair. He has said that he will summon Lady Thatcher and the Prime Minister, Johnny.
Whose name escapes you.
His name escapes me at the moment. A little chap with glasses. And they've both been assured that neither of them will be arrested if they give evidence, so that they might come.
Yes, that's absolutely it. It is the invitation from Lord Justice Scott to three important witnesses to give evidence in the Iraqi supergun affair. Following the collapse of the Matrix Churchill court case last year, it was decided the Scott inquiry should be set up. Rather like the Matrix Churchill executives, in fact. Lord Scott, now known as Scott of the Arms Antics, they come at you unexpectedly, has received replies from John Major and Alan Clark. The third witness, Lady Thatcher, is checking her diary, but we'll be happy to try and fit him in for the usual £30,000 appearance fee. Francis, your question now. Who have been left stranded after losing out to Le Right stuff?
Could this be the French left?
It could indeed.
Monsieur Mitterrand, who it says in the papers this week, has just bought a £3 million palazzo in Venice.
Really?
To celebrate his defeat. This is the French right winning parliamentary elections by landslide, and the French left have given up the ghost and bought Hoover tickets and left the country.
Yes, you got it right. It's the result of the French general election, which saw a massive swing to the right in less time than it takes to sing Thank Heaven for Charles de Gaulle. Socialist MPs knew that the omens weren't good when little old ladies in rocking chairs appeared by polling booths knitting furiously. At the headquarters of the left, television coverage of incoming results made for such depressing viewing that many party workers thought they were watching an episode of A Year in Provence. Paul, welcome to the programme. Which GC wasn't listening to the PC on the QT?
I think this must refer to the fact that MI5 were cleared of allegations that they were in fact bugging the royal phone calls. Quite who was interested in that unmitigated garbage is still to be revealed. So that's what the outcome was, I think.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yes, these are the official reports which clear the security services of involvement in the royal phone tap scandals. The tapes were the work of some old radio ham, and they're now looking for someone who fits the description of Nicholas Parsons. Deeply unfair. Alan, will you listen to this?
La mer. On voit danser le long des golfes clairs à des reflets d'argent la mer, des reflets changeants sous la pluie, la mer.
That was, of course, La Mer by Charles Trenet, and to go with it, a Gallic pun, where did Matelot rule okay?
Charles Trenet was the only man who could sing with his apron pulled down over his upper lip. This is about Jersey and Guernsey,
right,
where our crabbers crabbers.
I see, yes.
Crabs are prevalent around Jersey and Guernsey, and they can't go out because the French have taken retaliatory action against them, or they can't put to shore.
Right.
We had a boat. Royal Navy has this boat and three sailors, where most of the defence budget goes, and they attempted to arrest two Frenchmen in a sardine coracle. And when they went aboard, the Frenchmen took them away to France. The end of the Royal Navy, the Channel. Brave stand made by our plucky lads. It's come a long way since in which we serve. Noel Coward wouldn't have let him do that, wouldn't he? Well, I don't know. Noel Coward would have gone away with French sailors.
Thank you, Alan. You quite cheered me up. These were the events in what used to be called the English Channel, but in deference to our French neighbours, is now known as Channel Number 5. French sailors boarded a British gunboat and outlined their position on fishing rights by setting a light to its flag. This is a clever French negotiating ploy from the Joan of Arc School of Diplomacy. Well, the scores at the end of the first round, oh, that's cheerful, because on this happy day, it's 4-4. Well done, chap. We start round two with an item from today.
Michael Winner pointed to the success of the thriller The Crying Game, which has been voted Best British Film. Made for less than £2.5 million, it's taken a staggering £30 in America.
Well, thank you, Cliff Hunt of Western Supermare, for sending us that cutting. Richard, it's your turn for a question again. What may move into the fall?
I beg your pardon?
What may move into the fall?
Thank you, Francis. He's awfully clever, this chap. I think it refers to the so-called May Day holiday.
Quite right.
Which has always been unpopular. It was invented by Michael Foote, I think, a long time ago, and it always rained on... I don't know if you remember when it came. It almost invariably rained on May Day. Anyway, Mrs. Bottomley or somebody like that has decided that... there are too many of these holidays all happening at once. So it's going to be put back in October, just after the clocks go back, so that it'll be very dark and horrible.
This is the decision to move the May Day bank holiday in 1995 to October, which has been greeted with dismay by sailors everywhere. May Day, May Day. Sorry, I mean third Monday in October. Third Monday in October. May Day's socialist workers' connotations offended the Conservative government. The new holiday was to have been known as Trafalgar Day, but there is a danger that it might cause offence to the French. To make absolutely sure, it'll be called Up Yours Froggy Fish Face. Francis, who have been shaken up to care a little more?
Been shaken up to care a little more? I mean, is it to do with some shake-up of carers? Caring professionals.
Everyone's that's going to be released into the community.
That's right.
Left to their own devices.
This is dear old Richard. He's got it.
Well,
right.
That's the plan, isn't it? Mrs. Bottomley's new scheme is to do away with care by not paying any money to. But she's going to leave it to the councils to cope with.
Right.
And they're not going to have any money to do it, so they won't do it. So no more care. That's the answer.
This is about the community care shake-up, which came into effect on April the 1st. Presumably on the basis that there were going to be so many bad jokes that day, nobody would notice another one. The changes mean that the sick and elderly needing long-term care will no longer have automatic rights to enter nursing hospitals, but will get along much better at home. The changes are being studied closely by hundreds of bewildered elderly folk huddled on benches by the Thames. Well, it's nice to give them something to do in the House of Lords now and again. Paul, will you listen to this?
Lies in my skin. What did I do to be so black and blue?
That was Black and Blue by Ethel Waters. And your question is, Paul, who had a surprise in store after fixing the race in the rain?
I'm surprised it was Ethel Waters, that was Kylie Minogue's new single. But who had a surprise in store when fixing a race in the rain?
Mm-hmm. Well, I give you a clue. Benetton.
We lead a horse to
water. Of course. Her Majesty the Queen as a member of the Commonwealth of that's darkish
right.
hue.
That's right.
Which certainly offended the Sun newspaper, who were so offended by this photograph, they put it on the front page of their paper.
That's right.
And then a bloke turned out with a bucket and a mop and saw off the Benetton ads by covering them, making them totally black.
That is me speaking there. It's just a radio effect to make my voice sound deeper.
Yes, it's the attacks on Benetton stores after a controversial poster campaign depicted the Queen as a black woman. How dare they? She's as English as Mercedes-Benz. Six stores had their windows painted black by ardent royalist David Connolly, a man who stands for attention and salutes before licking the back of a stamp. Flushed with success, the company is planning further distortions of truth with a campaign which features Prince Philip as English, Prince Edward as working for a living, and a shocking photo of Fergie. She's fully clothed. Too cruel for this,
suffered enough.
The woman suffered enough.
Yes.
Alan, your question now. What swept the board and brought an end in sight?
I think I'll let Paul do this, because he's written down Howard's End and Oscars, and that's about the top and bottom of it.
Well, that's it, right?
Well, I mean, we won all these things. Emma Thompson, God, my voice is coming back.
That's right.
I'd like to thank everybody who made the news quiz possible, including the man who did the microphone. We won all the things except Clint Eastwood. We came home with everything else.
Well, it's all about the British film industry, which received a tremendous boost when Emma Thompson received the Best Actress Oscar for her part in Howard's End, the most realistic depiction of English life since Howard's Way. The award will mean that Ms. Thompson will no longer be known as Mrs. Kenneth Branagh. Yes, from now on she'll be known as the Oscar-winning Mrs. Kenneth Branagh. Meanwhile, the success of Howard's End has sent American movie stars scurrying to buy out the rights to books, and Arnold Schwarzenegger will soon be on screen in his version of Jane Austen's Persuasion. He'll be playing Captain Wentworth Terminator. And Elliot, I'll be back. And the scores at the end of the second round have just been passed to me, and they are amazingly still tied at 8-8. We start round three with an item from the Sale and Altrincham Express.
Staff at the Nat West on North Endon Road dived for cover and tripped the alarm after an armed raider demanded all their cash. The thug was described as white, aged around 22, and about 6 inches tall.
Well, thank you, Mr. F.W. Jeffrey of Sale in Manchester, for that. Richard, your turn again. Whose new act looks a bit like Blankety Blank?
This is a very good one. Blankety Blank is a very good description of my state of mind at the moment.
Does the name Tom Morton ring a bell?
Absolutely not.
Somewhere on the South Coast, you're getting ready to turn up on Paignton Pier and do this act where he remembers the entire phone book. He is known as Mr. Phone Book. Poor bugger, and he can't remember anything now. He can't do anything. He's not even Mr. His Own Address. And he was preparing for this, and he was trying on his outfit for the evening. He slipped over and banged his head on the skirting. And when he woke up, the entire act had disappeared.
You're absolutely right.
He's known as
right.
Mr. Directory Inquiries now.
Quite right, Alan, and you get bonus points there. This is about memory man Tom Morton, who had to call off his one-man show because he can't remember his lines. Morton, who lost his memory after falling off a ladder, was dubbed the human telephone directory because he was able to recall 20,000 numbers. The problem was that every time he went into a telephone box, somebody tried to steal him. Francis, a piece of music for you now.
Don't want to argue, I don't want to debate. Don't want to hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it.
Well, that was Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic. And your question is, where could one pay £9,700 a year to eat dirt cheap? It is about a school.
A school with fees of £9,700 a year?
That's right.
Eton.
Not Eton.
Get it?
Has...
Yes, I get it.
Cockroaches. Cockroaches.
I particularly want it, but I've got it.
Did you ever have Fly's Cemetery?
What do you call it?
Fly's Cemetery.
We didn't get that at Borstal. This was at Bedford School, where the head chef was judged to have produced meals that were almost inedible. One of the finest accolades a school cook can hope for. The catering manager was asked to leave after pupils were offered a diet of fatty stews, undercooked potatoes, and as many slices of gravy as they could carry. Paul, why is the European magic wand being waved to break a bad spell in the Enchanted Kingdom?
I presume this must be something to do with the dismal flop that is Euro Disney.
Absolutely.
But quite what the story is, I'm not too sure. Is there some kind of government subsidy? Michel Mouse or something is he becoming now?
Well, they're doing that sort of thing. They're Europeanising it because the French hate everything foreign anyway. Don't really want Magic Kingdom stuff. They actually want to see the guillotine working and the magic Mitterrand ride.
I was actually at the press conference to launch Euro Disney.
Really?
And they announced their standards of cleanliness and there'd be no employees with facial hair and they'd all be punctual and pleasant. And the Belgian representative stood up and said, where on earth are you going to find 4,000 Frenchmen with no facial hair who are pleasant and punctual? That's the root of the problem, exactly.
Clearly not in their fishing fleet. It is Euro Disney, you're absolutely right, Paul, where the management has been left feeling grumpy after the park lost £23 million in its first year. It's a bid to stop tourists singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to somewhere else we go. The Magic Kingdom will become more European. The complex will feature Euro rides, including the sleep-defying Maastricht roller coaster, which stops and starts 56 times before reaching the end 3.5 years later. Alan, whose bell turned out to be a ringer?
There are two Leonardo da Vincis. An American is trying to sell a Leonardo da Vinci for $40 million, and a Leonardo da Vinci expert has come along and looked at it and said he didn't normally paint blue women, and it's a tray is counting against it somewhat, and look at those teapot rings on it. I don't think you'll get a lot for that on the open market. And this, apparently it's somebody called, it's La Belle something. It's a woman in a curtain with those sort of things around her head. They had a television programme on it during the week, and they're all very upset with the BBC, I gather. This bloke is very upset. He's shelled out 40 million quid for this thing, and it's hanging in his laboratory now. In strips.
It is what was thought to be a Da Vinci portrait, La Belle Ferronnière, but has been judged by Professor Martin Kemp to be La Grande Elephante Blanche. What was the most expensive painting on sale in the world has been devalued by £26 million at a brushstroke. But its owner, Mr. Leon Lux, has refused to accept expert opinion, even though the use of colour was obviously suspect, especially the treatment of the Ford Cortina in the background. To my surprise, as well as everybody else's, we've come to the end of yet another round, but as is fairly common on this programme, the scores have changed somewhat dramatically. Because Richard and Francis are stuck on 8. But Alan and Paul have leapt into the lead with 13. Well played. But before we start the final round, here's a cutting from the Worcester Evening News, which has been sent to us by David Ritchie of Worcester.
County MP Peter Temple Morris is urging John Major to tighten up pornography laws. Mr. Temple Morris, Tory MP for Leinster, is acting following a horrific porn display put on by the Metropolitan Police in the House of Commons.
Aptly known as the Boys in Blue. Richard, listen to this.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me.
If Bill Deeds was with us now, he'd be saying, I used to dance with that fellow. That's a regular. Richard, your question is, what beats as it sweets as it cleans?
I thought it was going to be something to do with Frank Sinatra, possible links with all these Italian politicians.
No.
Are they coming on later? Libelous? No, in fact, everybody knows this. Even I do. It relates to the bizarre offer that Hoover's made, that you got two free tickets to America if you bought one of their Hoover devices. And it turned out to be a total con. Is one allowed to say that on the airwaves?
Well, you
total
just said it, you
con.
Bloody fool. I don't know. To. Well,
Moore?
A slight misunderstanding, I think, is more
I'm sorry. Anyway,
slight misunderstanding.
A number of senior executives have been given their cards, and probably knowing the way of things nowadays, nothing else will happen. A whole lot of people might feel aggrieved about this. Not me, of course, because I wouldn't want to go to America in the first place.
Well, that's cleared that up pretty thoroughly. This is all about the great Hoover air ticket fiasco, which couldn't be swept under the carpet. As a result, Hoover's three senior executives were given the sack and were asked to empty it into the dustbin on their way out. Basically, the vacuum cleaner salesman tempted thousands of punters to buy £100 machines by promising free gifts of £400 worth of air travel. The net result was that Hoover were inundated with requests for air tickets, and boot sales were flooded with thousands of brand new second-hand Hoovers. In fact, a new Hoover can get you to America, but only by bolting on the accessory kit of two wings, three extra motors, and fitting a very long lead. Francis, who made it to a half century not out?
This is Eric Idle, the former Monty Python star, who had his 50th birthday this week. Mm. And he went to... There was some sort of birthday party at Downing Street in his honour, and the chap who lives there came along as well.
Major Johnny.
Because he had a birthday in the same week. Yes, my partner knows the name, Major. And they celebrated with some cake in the shape of a cricket bat, I think. Something awful like that.
Good name for Major, Eric Idle, isn't
it? You get sillier as the years go on.
They're released into the community.
Thank you, Francis.
And his constituency association's birthday present to him was a weekend in the Lake District with Norma.
That's right.
I hoped he was going to jump into one of the lakes.
Eric Idle to one side. It's all about John Major, the thinking woman's Mr. Bean. Who will celebrate his 50th birthday with a weekend away in a Lake District hotel. The Prime Minister will be half bored and Norma will be fully bored. In addition to his weekend away, the Prime Minister blew out all the candles on his birthday cake and made a wish. Sadly, it didn't come true as Norman Lamont stayed in his job. There. Paul. What engaging news fell on stony ground?
This was the heartwarming news that love is possible across the generations, in that Bill Wyman's... I better be careful about this. Bill Wyman's son is marrying the mother of his father's former wife, i.e. Mrs. Smith. Is that right?
Yes.
Something like that, isn't it? Something out of a kind of 15th century Italian opera. The Sensi or something. It's disgusting thought. And even more revolting is the fact that Bill Wyman's original name is Bill Perkins, which somehow sums him up, don't you think? He was born a Perkins. And there's something about him, his soul will be forever Perkins, I think, poor old Bill.
Boy's become his own grandfather. He's got a lousy Christmas. You know, he's actually nobody there. His own step-uncle.
And
his all very strange.
The Oedipus at Colin has played out in a bar at home, really, isn't it? And I have to say, looking at Bill Wyman's face, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Right. It's all about Bill Wyman, who left the Rolling Stones to be replaced by a more sprightly man, funky bass player Lord Hailsham. The happy news that Bill Wyman's son is to marry his ex-wife's mother means that Bill becomes his own ex-father-in-law and as father of his ex-wife's stepfather also becomes his own ex-step-grandfather-in-law. Bill's delighted as he gets four separate places all to himself in the seating plan. And imagine Bill congratulating himself at the reception. Cheer up, Bill. You're not losing a son. You're gaining an ex-mother-in-law. Bizarre for words. Alan, who was caught going like the clampers?
I fell off this ladder while I was preparing myself on the show. It eradicated everything. I remember this. This was a man who had 12 pints. Came out of the pub, got into his car and drove away. But it had a clamp on it. And police, who were dozing in the car park, were alerted by the noise and these sparks coming out of his car. And they did him. I mean, they did him for driving away a thing that was clamped and for having 12 pints. In fact, he was going on to another pub. I can't remember his name.
Do we get an extra point for knowing he got sentenced to 42 days in prison? It's an astonishing amount of time to get, isn't it? I wonder how they fixed on that.
Probably running away, dragging a cell after him. I've got this ball and chain, but...
This was about the drunken salesman from Leeds who was found guilty of driving his car away after it had been clamped, although defence counsel helpfully explained that his client had downed 12 pints of beer, so could hardly be expected to notice a detail like a bright yellow clamp on the wheel. Under the circumstances, he did pretty well to identify his own car. Gent then drove 30 yards with the sign stuck on the front and a raucous metallic clanging coming from the car. He only realised something was wrong when someone stopped him and tried to buy an ice cream. Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis, what have you brought for us?
This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. It's a story about a rather sad man in Eugene, Oregon, in fact. A man spotted by a passerby Monday holding what looked like a gun outside the Lane County Courthouse was actually a construction worker using a hand drill to fix a handrail, police said. It was the same worker whose lunch sack was mistaken for a bomb last week.
Paul, what have you brought for us?
Well, my cutting demonstrates that the beacon of legal perspicacity still burns brightly up in the Orkneys. This is from the Orcadian, and it reads, a hoy man had to be kept in hospital for a week from injuries caused by another man repeatedly stamping on his head during a fight. Procurator Fiscal Mrs. Fiona Robertson said there was some ill feeling between the two.
Thank you. Alan.
My voice may break in the middle of this one. This is a tragedy from the Oxford Mail, Barry. It says, sadly, a cat which had been left £1,000 for its upkeep in the will of its owner, Mrs. Alice Green of Cowley, will not benefit from her generosity. On the day of the funeral, Percy was sunning himself, as he often did, in a driveway which cars never entered, and was run over by the hearse.
And it gets better as it goes along. Thank you all. And now let's look at the final scores, which are, as follows, Richard and Francis, 12, but Alan and Paul in the lead, and the winners this week with 17. Well played. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Daily Mail, sent to us by Anne Daly of Blackheath in London.
A woman of 83 who sparked a major search when she vanished from her old people's flat was found 2 hours later in bed with an elderly man next door.
Good luck to her. And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Francis Wheen and Paul Ross. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Louise Coates.